SaaS case study presentation. Jonathan Lockman is a founding partner and vice president for environmental planning at Catalyst Adaptation Partners, which is located in Scarborough, Maine. CAP provides sea level and storm surge adaptation planning services to agencies and municipalities, focusing on benefit cost analysis of solutions using the COAST tool that JT will be talking about today. Prior to joining CAP, JT served as the planning director for the towns of Bar Harbor and Wells, Maine, and is the planning director of the Southern Maine Regional Planning Commission. He's been active at the national level of the American Planning Association. He was recently appointed to a panel at the National Academy of Sciences Transportation Research Board, supervising research on extreme weather events and their effects on state departments of transportation. JT received a BS in science and environmental education from Cornell and earned a master's in regional planning from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He's been regularly featured at national conferences speaking about the newest techniques for citizen engagement and benefit cost analysis in sea level and storm surge adaptation planning. So with that, I'll turn it over to you, JT.
Okay. Can everybody hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
You see the pop-up box on your screen?
I have not yet.
You should have it there. If you click on the GoToWebinar icon.
Nothing's happening. Okay. I have the dialog box.
Yeah. So if you have the dialog box, select Screen Clean from the drop-down.
No, I don't have that particular dialog box. Excuse me. I have the toolbars.
Let me try just giving you control one more time. And if this doesn't work, I can take the control.
Okay, I've got it.
Perfect.
How are we doing?
It looks great. You can just put it in full screen mode and we're good to go.
Okay, I'm JT Lockman, and thank you very much for letting me be the closer today in the final 10 minutes of presentations. And I'll jump right in since I know we're probably tight on time. The COAST tool is what I'm going to talk about that our firm uses to promote sea level and storm surge adaptation planning, and it stands for Coastal Adaptation to Sea Level Rise Tool. And the first thing we do when a community invites us in is we work with the stakeholder group that wants to figure out their vulnerability and determine strategies. We ask them to participate in selecting scenarios for sea level rise and storm surge themselves. And that's really the very first part of buy-in. And like others have said today, we like to use local data on sea level rise and on storm surges rather than national or international data, because local data connects with people's experiences. This is an example of the Portland tide gauge. People really trust that their tide gauge in their own town really works, and they've experienced it over the years, and the older people have noticed the tide's higher than they used to be. Now, the next thing we do is we provide the community with a vulnerability assessment where we calculate the cumulative expected dollar damages over time for a scenario if they take no action. And I'd like to show you today work that we've just been doing over the last several weeks in Kingston, New York. Kingston is a town on the Hudson River about halfway up the river to Albany from New York City. And it is not a community that thought of itself as being worried about hurricanes. But Hurricanes Irene and Sandy flooded the community 14 months apart. So they have no problem understanding that they are vulnerable. They are believers in that the climate is changing and that they are experiencing something that is different than what's ever happened before in that area. This is a picture of the downtown waterfront on Rondout Creek, which is an arm of the Hudson River flooding their lovely town of 30,000 people. The first thing we have to do to run the model is input LIDAR data that is very accurate elevation data taken from laser ranging measurements from an airplane. Then we layer on top of that in this case, they wanted us to look at damage to real estate, so we layered on top of that the tax parcel layer with the tax assessment data from the community. Then we put into the model a depth damage function, that we get from the Army Corps of Engineers. And what that's about is the Army, through its statistical analysis of floods in the past, they can tell how much a dollar damage will happen to a particular building with a particular amount of water flooding it. And then we input into the model the possibility of storm surges, and the typically we in this case we use the flood insurance study, and we put in the 10-year, 25-year, 50-year, and 100-year storm. And then we added levels of sea level rise to it that the community selected that they wanted us to model. That is very important for buy-in. We did not want to come to the community and tell them, you've got a plan for 2 feet by 2050 or 3 feet by 2100, and then argue about it. Instead, we asked them to select the levels. Then if we put that all together and run the model, it will tell you the amount of dollar damage predicted for a particular size storm in a particular year. And more importantly, the model can calculate the cumulative expected damages summed up from all of the predicted storms starting today until the year that's modeled. And this is a very busy slide, and I won't be able to have time to go over it, but what it shows are the results of the vulnerability assessment for Kingston, New York. And on the left, you can see different years, 2013, which is the present, 2060, and 2100. Then the community selected different scenarios of sea level rise. They asked us to model 20 inches of sea level rise by 2060, 36 inches of sea level rise by 3060, 33 inches of sea level rise by 2100, or 68 inches of sea level rise by 2100. And what we came up with is this column, which is the sixth column, the expected damage to the value of all buildings and improvements from the single storm of either a 10-year or 100-year storm with that much sea level rise. Then we found out that the sewage treatment plant really was the most expensive thing that was vulnerable, and we put a separate column for it because it was so costly. And then on the column second from the right, we have the cumulative expected damage from all storms that occur up to the year 2060 and all storms that occur up to 2100, and just with the input of their local tax data. And here's how that looks. And when you get to a site-specific analysis, you get tremendous buy-in and conversations really get started. The model puts out in Google Earth format extruded bars that show the predicted dollar damage at each particular lot. And the relative height of the blue boxes show the predicted dollar damages to buildings and improvements on that lot from the flood height of the scenario. And then the red extruded blocks show the predicted dollar damages due to the sea level rise component of the flood in that scenario. Now, this is an area in downtown Kingston. It's the JAF Partners Building at number 1 Broadway. And here we have scenario 6, which was for a 100-year storm in the year 2060 with a high sea level rise prediction. That means we predict that the Hudson would go up to 11.2 feet at that event with both the 100-year storm surge and sea level rise added to it. And the model showed that that particular building has a depth of 2.2 feet of flooding if the river gets that high, with damage of $158,000. Now, once we produce this model for the community in any one of these 10 scenarios, we can give out these KML files to the public. They can take them home, load them on Google Earth, and fly around the community and look at their properties, their neighbors' properties, and look at depths and damage dollar amounts for any site that could be flooded in the future. And they can see the difference between what happens if there's 2 feet of water or 4 feet of water. Now, COAST can be used to look at other assets other than real estate. And these are some of them. One of the other ones we've done for our clients is economic output. Now, the next step in the COAST process is we can look at adaptation actions to protect from sea level rise and storm surge, and then run the model again and see how much money would be saved in avoided damages and do a cost-benefit analysis. Now, the next slides, I'll show you, we did this adaptation testing in Groton, Mystic, Connecticut. We haven't done it in Kingston yet, so I can't show it there. And what this community asked us to do is test whether constructing a hurricane barrier at the entrance to the harbor and adjusting the elevation of railroad tracks, how that would help avoid real estate damage in different scenarios. And once again, I can't go over this slide right now, but we did a cost-benefit analysis looking at the costs of the engineering options they wanted tested, as well as the avoided real estate damage. Now, the model is a simplification, and more study would be needed to do any of these adaptation strategies. However, in terms of achieving buy-in to do adaptation and to raise appropriations for design and engineering of an expensive adaptation, we feel that our tool is very useful. And, of course, the last step in the COAST process is to start doing something, to implement these strategies and move the needle off of zero. And if you want more information or see some reports on the tool's output, please visit our website. Thank you.
Thank you, JT. I think the COAST tool is just an excellent illustration of the impact that localized information can really have on people's perception and consciousness of the need for adaptation and the climate change issues. So I think that's a really great note for us to end on with our presentations today. So thank you for that. And I encourage folks to reach out to JT if they have questions about the tool or any of the details of the presentation. So with that, we're going to go into our very last poll question before we jump into the panel discussion. So after listening to our speakers today, how do you intend to increase buy-in for adaptation within your community or organization? So if you could take a minute to indicate which of the strategies you think you're most likely to try and pursue, we'd appreciate hearing that. All right, if you want to pull up the results, great. So it looks like the most popular opportunity among our participants today is to develop a more robust understanding of local impacts. And a number of the resources that have been listed in the speaker's presentations, as well as the introduction that I gave, can point you to some great sources of data. Cynthia mentioned several times the National Climate Assessment, and there's a link to that in my slides and probably hers as well. So please do check out those resources. And then tap local values and aligned messaging is also a strong option for folks, and I think we've heard again and again through the case studies that really is a way to resonate with folks. So with that, we're going to